This is the Ontario Family Law Podcast, dealing with issues related to marriage, separation, divorce, and even some child welfare issues. It's a companion to the book, The Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law, which is available on Amazon or by calling 416-446-5847. My name is John Schumann. I'm a family lawyer, mediator, arbitrator, collaborative lawyer, and I am the head of the Family Law Group at Debrie Smith Frank, LLP. Today on the podcast, how does child support work in Ontario and who gets it? Child support is money paid between parents who do not live together to ensure that all of their children's needs are met. It is the right of the child to receive child support to ensure that the child has some financial security. This is going to be the first of several podcasts that discusses child support. Today I will discuss the basics of how child support works and who pays and who receives child support. Many parents, especially step-parents, are surprised by how the law works. In Ontario, there are two components of child support. The first component is called the table amount. The second component is called special and extraordinary expenses, or Section 7 expenses. Special and extraordinary expenses are paid in addition to the base child support amount. Base child support is sometimes called table child support because in Canada, the child support guidelines actually have tables that show precisely how much child support a payer is required to pay. The tables are actually quite simple to use. You first look at the correct table for the number of children. When you get to that table, then you look up the support payer's income, and the table gives the amount of child support that the person who is supposed to pay child support is supposed to pay in a monthly amount. The amount of child support owed under a table is pretty much set in stone. Judges almost never order child support that is different from what is shown in the table. And by almost never, I really do mean almost never. You should not assume that a judge will find that your circumstances are ones that are in which the judge is going to deviate from the table amount. This is true even when the support payer has to pay child support to several different payers for several different children. It is also important to note that a support payer, or where there are several other parents to several other children, support payers pay the full amount to each of those parents, as if the parent was the only parent to which the support payer was paying. Let me give an example that makes this more clear. If a father has children with two different mothers, that's two children with two different mothers, he does not pay the table amount of support for his income for two children and divide it between the two mothers. That father pays the full child support amount for one child to one mother and the full table amount of child support for the other child to the second mother. The total child support that he pays is much more than the table amount of child support for two children. The child support guidelines tables are available online, so you can look them up and look up your support obligation very easily. Judges expect that the parent who is no longer with the children will start paying child support based on their income right after separation. The child support is the right of the child. It is not for the parent to ask for child support. It is up to the paying parent to start paying child support in the correct amount. If a person has an obligation to pay child support and they do not give an amount that the judge could order, then the judge can order that all of those payments be made up retroactively. That can be quite a large number and quite devastating to a person's financial situation. It is always best to start paying child support right away. Another good reason to pay child support right away is that judges form a very negative impression of parents who do not step up to the plate and pay their child support obligation on their own without being ordered to do so. The second component of child support are special and extraordinary expenses. These are large expenses that are incurred in relation to the child. If an expense qualifies as a special or an extraordinary expense, then the parents share that cost in proportion to their income. To give an example, child care that is necessary for a parent to pursue education or employment is always a special expense. It is a cost that is always shared between parents in proportion to their income. So for the purposes of this example, I am going to say that the child care expense is $1,000 a month. Now, the first parent makes $60,000 a year. That is their annual income. The second parent makes $40,000 a year. That means that the first parent makes 60% of both parents' total income. So the first parent is responsible for 60% of the daycare costs, or $600 a month. That $600 a month is on top of any other support obligation. So let's do the calculation this way. Let's say the children live with the parent who makes $60,000 a year. The easiest way that special and extraordinary expenses are shared is just to add it to monthly child support. So the parent who makes $40,000 a year is always paying the child support amount based on that $40,000 a year. That parent is also responsible for paying 40% of the daycare costs. So that parent's total support obligation is their base child support plus $400 per month. There will be another podcast that addresses special and extraordinary expenses in more detail. Right now, all I will note is that the amount of daycare that is shared is the after-tax amount of daycare. There are tax credits that apply to daycare, and so parents share the amount of the daycare cost after deducting those tax credits. The second basic concept that is important to understand about child support is who pays. In most situations, there are two parents for children, and after separation, those children spend most of their time with one parent. The parent who is no longer living with the children pays child support to the parent who is living with the children. That is the simplest scenario, but not the only scenario. So what happens if the parents agree that the children will spend a roughly equal amount of time with each of the parents? When a child spends more than 40% of their time with one parent, the way child support is paid changes. Since the children are spending an approximately equal amount of time with each of their parents, the child support guidelines assume that the parents are also roughly equally sharing the day-to-day costs associated with raising the children. So when a child spends more than 40% of their time with one parent, support is calculated a little bit differently. What happens is that both parents have to calculate the full support obligation for that child. The arrangement is basically that both parents pay the full table amount of child support to the other parent, and then they adjust the payment they make between them. How this works in practice is that the payer with the higher income pays the full table amount of child support based on that income, minus the full table amount of child support that the other parents, or based on the other parent's income. You will hear this called set-off, which is the legal term. Parents do not have to divide or pay child support into the shared parenting situation in that way. The courts will not order child support to be shared in that way if, despite where the children are living, one parent continues to pay the bulk of the costs associated with raising the child. If that set-off principle will not work fairly, the court can order that child support be paid in any other way to ensure that the parents share in the cost of raising the children in proportion to their respective incomes. So we've dealt with a situation where a child lives roughly equally with each parent. Another possibility is that some of the children live with one parent and some of the children live with the other parent. In that circumstance, each parent pays based on his or her income to the other parent for the children in the other parent's care. Just to be clear, if parent A has two children in his care and parent B has one child in her care, parent A will pay child support for one child and parent B will pay child support to the parent A for two children. It is not necessary for both parents to write checks. What usually happens is the parent with a greater child support obligation pays that child support obligation minus the other parent's child support obligation. Again, this is a set-off, resulting in only one parent writing a check. The last scenario is where there are more than two parents. What I'm dealing with here is step-parents. It's possible to have more than two parents registered on a birth certificate, and those parents are recognized as full parents in Ontario. However, the courts have not really come down on how child support works in that situation. The child support guidelines do deal with how step-parents should have to pay support. If a new partner treats a stepchild as his or her own child and steps into the place of parent, then that stepparent becomes liable for child support. Whether a stepparent has become a full parent who should pay child support depends on a number of factors and specific factors in each case, so you really have to talk to a family lawyer about it. However, I can give you some guidance on how this works in general. First, to become liable for child support, a stepparent has to be more than just a babysitter. That is, more than just a person who cares for the children when the other parent is busy. That step-parent has to be actively involved in parenting the children, which means making decisions regarding the child, disciplining the child, becoming a full participant in the child's activities, calling the step-child, quote, my child, end quote. And there are also several other factors that can show a step-parent intends to be something more to that child than just the child's new partner. A step-parent is liable for child support regardless of whether the biological parent is already paying support. It is possible for the parent looking after the children to collect child support from several partners, which include the child's biological parent and every other partner that has become an active parent to that child at some point, regardless of whether that step-parent is continuing to play an active role in the child's life. Obviously, this is an important thing for people to understand when they get into a relationship with a new partner who has children. It is not possible to opt out of paying child support if you are a step-parent. The law applies to you. The only saving consideration can be that the law does not require step-parents to always pay the full table amount of child support that the biological parent is required to do. A judge can order a step-parent to pay less than the full table amount of support if the biological parent is already paying a significant amount of support, and having both the biological parent and the step-parent pay support would result in an amount of child support that is more than the child could probably need. However, it is a reality that most judges view more child support as better than less child support, and so it can be a difficult argument for a step-parent to make that he or she would not have to pay the full table amount of support. Finally, when there are more than two parents, all the children's parents will contribute to special and extraordinary expenses in proportion to their income. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Ontario Family Law Podcast. There will be more discussions about child support coming up soon. My name is John Schumann. I'm a certified specialist in family law in Toronto. You can reach me at www.devrylaw.ca, www.devrylaw.ca, or you can call me at 416-446-5847. We will talk again soon.